Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on soil, grass, and cancer when we come back. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law. When they put into our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words, it says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." But back in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. And in place of these just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system. And they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coins. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our country, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that we teach in our Mosaic Law School. We conduct that school twice a year here at the law school. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And while you're at it, why don't you call for our free general law CD package? Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, and it's entertaining. And best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Our Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Click onto our archives page and download that free general law CD package right there. All right, last time we were bringing up the subject matter of copper. Wasn't it copper? We're talking about minerals. The book that we're talking about here is called Soil, Grass, and Cancer. And when you're missing one of these minerals, whether it's copper, iron, manganese, you're going to come down with a symptom. Now, we test this theory, we test this hypothesis, as they call it in science, by testing it on animals first. And all of these diseases that we humans come down with, animals come down with it also. We can duplicate cancer in rats and mice and cows. I told you last time, I said, I had a cow out here, had cancer. The cancer actually caused the death of the cow, but the cow didn't die from cancer. She died from complications created by the cancer. Now, the reason that cow got cancer was that she was missing something in her diet. Something wasn't there. Well, either that or she got poisoned. She got some kind of toxin in her. Her immune system was weakened. She was unable to fight the cancer off. All of us have cancer. We have cancer cells in our body. If it gets started, your body will dispose of the cancer. If your immune system is weakened, and if you're lacking in vitamins and minerals and amino acids, the cancer gets cracking or gets cooking, and then your immune system can't dispose of it. The cancer then ultimately runs its course. In some cases, the cancer will kill you, or the cancer will cause some kind of an opportunistic disease, and you'll die from something else. Now, very seldom do people die from AIDS. AIDS is a fatal disease, there's no doubt about it. If you can survive all the opportunistic infections that are going to develop because of your weakened immune system, you'll die from AIDS. But most people die from pneumonia. They get AIDS, and then their immune system's weakened, and then the guy dies, and then they write down on his death certificate that he died from pneumonia. Just like I told you the other day about this cow up here. See, actually, she died from bloat. If you want to know what was it that finally killed her, she just bloated up to a point where she could no longer breathe, and she suffocated. Well, I guess you could say she suffocated to death. But then when we traced it back, we found out the suffocation was caused by bloat. The bloat was caused by a constriction between the third and fourth stomachs. And what caused the constriction? Cancer. She had a tumor there. It grew into place, squeezed it off, and she couldn't digest her food, so she got to a point where she bloated. The bloat caused her to suffocate to death, and that was the end of the cow. All right, now there's a cause and effect relationship between our eating habits and our health, and it starts in the soil. That's the place it starts. If you've got good, healthy soil, then you're going to have good, healthy plants. Good, healthy plants eaten by people or animals is going to create good, healthy people and animals. So when we got a disease, we had to break a law to get there. You got to break a law to get sick. Now, allopathic medicine here in America doesn't deal with the cause. It only deals with the effect. So we've talked about that a little bit. We're talking about this thing of insulin deficiencies over here. The diabetic has an insulin deficiency because his pancreas doesn't produce enough insulin. So we don't ask, why does the pancreas fail to produce enough insulin? It's because it doesn't have enough zinc. Now, a lot of times, I guess people would say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go ahead and keep on with all of my bad dietary habits, but I'll eat more zinc. So I pointed out to you, well, don't just grab some zinc now, grind it up and stick it in some water and drink it. It's got to be organic. It's got to come out of the soil. It's got to come out of the plants. And you can't get out of the soil what isn't there to start with. And the place to start is with the land Sabbath. The place to start is by creating healthy, organic soil. Good, deep, rich, black soil. Now, let me show you a little story here about corn. Listen to this. One of the diseases that is known to ravage breeding flocks of poultry is typhus, which is caused by a microbe known as Salmonella gallinarium. Smith, back in 1954, established that the percentage of birds attacked was much higher in places where birds were receiving a so-called normal, balanced ration than in places where birds were being fed a ration consisting of corn grains. Now, corn can also include wheat and rye. But at the Rockefeller Institute in New York in 1956, Snyder confirmed this finding with mice whose capacity for resisting typhus, the microbe, is greatly increased by feeding with whole corn. Snyder concluded that foodstuffs contain factors capable of enhancing natural resistance to infection. Now notice the word factors. When he wrote that, there's something in this whole wheat, this whole corn, that prevents this disease. We don't know what it is, but there's something in there. What we're dealing with here is the dust. Remember, we were talking about this a little earlier. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. When God designed and made us, he made us out of the dust of the earth. He made us out of the 92 elements contained here on planet earth. When we die, we decay. We go back into the soil. And while we're living, we are being nourished and fed out of the soil. My body today is made up of those nutrients that I have been eating over the past 7 years. It takes about 7 years for your body to turn over. So for the past 7 years, I've been eating carrots and peas and beans and meat and potatoes. And so now my body is what I've been eating for the last 7 years. Now, if I was deficient in some of those 92 nutrients, remember we're talking about this thing of nutrients, and I told you about rare earths. If you'll go to Joel Wallach's book on rare earths, E-A-R-T-H-S, rare. And you're talking about minerals. And they're pretty rare in the earth because we're mining our soils, and they don't have a chance to develop. Those minerals are there. They're in the inorganic rock in the ground, and it has to be leached out by the carbolic acid in the plant's roots and then converted to, through the process of photosynthesis, organic zinc, organic manganese, organic copper, organic iron, so that you can assimilate it. So now there's something in these whole grains that prevents this typhus in animals. Well, hell, it works for people just like it does animals. You know, they'll tell you, all the evolutionists tell you, that all a man is an animal. Well, that's not quite true, but in the vernacular, it's certainly true. Solomon made this observation in Ecclesiastes: as the one dies, so dies the other. You know, a cow dies, a man dies. You know, we are souls, we are bodies, we are made up of the dust of the ground, living, organic beings. Now, we have to be sustained out of that same ground, and that's what our problem is. We're not being sustained. And it's a slow, it's a long, long, slow, insidious process, this thing of starvation. Back in the 1880s, remember, in Kansas, we had 24% protein. Today, that same farm, same country, same state, it's producing about 7 to 13%. What happened? Mining. We're over there mining the soils. Not only is it short of protein, it's also short of copper and iron and manganese and so on. Got the same problem. Now, white flour does not contain the factor that protects against typhus. Now, what is it that we humans eat? We eat the white flour. What was the factor present in whole corn that conferred on fowls and mice this resistance against infection by salmonella? Well, using refined chemical methods, which he has described in detail, Snyder was able to extract from corn grains the factor enabling mice to resist the typhus bacillus. In this way, he obtained the anti-typhus substance in a concentration 1 million times greater than it occurs in corn. He has not, however, succeeded as yet in determining its exact chemical nature. So he got this something out of the whole grain, but he was unable to, or at least as of this moment in time, determine, well, what is its chemical makeup? Aha. So what's happening here is there are enzymes in these plants, like we were talking the other day about this thing of enzymes in the milk. Now, we've got a statute here in the Bible that says you shall eat no manner of fat. And then as you proceed through the Bible, you'll find out that it talks about butter 8 times, talks about milk quite often, milk of kine, milk of sheep, milk of goats, you know. Well, come to find out, there's an enzyme in the cream in cow's milk. There's an enzyme in it. And that cow produces that enzyme. You and I don't produce it, but the cow does, so that we can digest it. That enzyme is not in the cow's fat, which is why we're instructed, don't eat animal fat. But butter fat's an exception. The butter fat is an exception because the butter fat has an enzyme in it that it will digest it. So there's a little story for you to tuck away in your hearts. And so all of these foods have enzymes, minerals, vitamins, and some of them have them in greater concentrations than others. This is why herbs, then, are good for you when you get sick. For instance, the other day my wife came down with a bad cold, flu, symptoms, coughing, hacking, whacking, whatever. Well, that's caused by toxins building up in her body, caused by not getting enough food, too much stress, not getting enough vitamins and minerals, so she comes down sick. Now, what are you going to do when this settles in your lungs? Commonly, we call this pneumonia. Well, what we need here is an antibiotic, and garlic is a natural antibiotic. So before anybody invented penicillin, we had antibiotics. They called garlic and onions. So like, I went in and I chopped up a garlic for her. And, well, it was actually about 5 cloves of a garlic bulb. And chopped them up real fine, and then she took some. She took a piece of bread and smeared butter on it, and then put the garlic on, spread that on there. And she ate it, and the symptoms went away. In other words, her lungs cleared up. Then she could breathe, and the symptoms went away. Well, she was missing something here. Number one, her body required these nutrients in order to get her immune system up and running so that the immune system could throw off these bacteria that are accumulating in her lungs. That's simple enough. Now, if you take a look at spinach is a pretty good green, and it's full of calcium. But there's another green out here. It's called lamb's quarter, commonly known as pigweed. Lamb's quarter is the name that should be applied to it. It has 3 times as much calcium in it as does spinach. Down the ridge over here, we got a tree called a hawthorn tree, and it has a little red berry on it. And that little red berry prevents heart attack. You eat those hawthorn berries, and you won't have a heart attack. Because whatever it is that allows this heart attack, this heart muscle, this atherosclerosis, this hawthorn berry disposes of it. Now, there's 32 of these herbs mentioned in the Bible. That isn't all the herbs that there are, but they're mentioned in there 32 times. And there's a mandrake. There's a plant called a mandrake. And there was a woman in the Bible. I think her name was Rachel, as I recall. And she was barren. She couldn't conceive. She couldn't have children. So she went out and she started eating this mandrake. And pretty soon she got pregnant. So there was something that was deficient in her body that she could get out of this particular plant. Now, these plants on planet Earth here, all of the plants, and there's about 2 million different types of plants out here, all of them have a value. That's why in Genesis 1, verses 28 and 29, he says, I've given you every green herb on the planet here for meat. So those plants all have vitamins, minerals, nutrients. They have amino acids and enzymes and all kinds of stuff in them. Over the years, you know, over the last 6,000 years, you know, before allopathic medicine got started here about 1900, there were people getting sick. You know, people have been eating pig for a long time. They've been eating fat and blood and smoking and, you know, doing all the things that we're doing today. In fact, when we dig up these mummies over in Egypt and we run them through x-rays and CAT scans and one thing and another, we find that these people had diabetes and Parkinson's disease and muscular dystrophy and cancer and heart disease. And, you know, they got everything. They had everything back then that we've got today. There isn't anything new under the sun. So they had these same diseases. Well, over time, you know, if you don't have an ER and a St. John's Hospital, and you don't, you know, what are you going to do? I can remember as a kid, my granny said that what is it now? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So we practiced, and the neighbors around us, they did it too. Ronnie Mitchell's mother did the same thing. You know, while my granny was warming me, Mrs. Mitchell was over there warming her kids. So these old timers, they said, we know that these intestinal parasites cause disease. We know they cause symptoms. So the thing to do is to kill the intestinal parasites. And so they were feeding us worming medicine. Now, in case you people out there are wondering what worming medicine is, it's walnut hull tincture. Walnut hull tincture. And you can make it. You know, it's pretty damn cheap. They charge an arm and a leg for it when you go to the health food store, but hell, you can just make it yourself. No big deal. You just take a quart jar, fill it full of whole walnuts right off the ground. Leave the holes on them. Don't take those holes off. Fill it full of vodka. seal it up, set it on the shelf for 90 days, and then start taking that walnut hull tincture. That's what that's called. You can take about 10, 12 drops of it, you know, three times a day for about a week, and that'll warm you. Kill your intestinal parasites. Been doing that, you know, for thousands of years. In fact, here on the ranch, in the fall, I take those walnuts, and I just throw them into the water troughs, and then the cattle drink the water, and it worms the cows. So you get rid of the internal parasites out of the cows. Now, these internal parasites, intestinal parasites, they have waste products, and these waste products are toxic, and these toxins over here build up in the body, and they cause symptoms. That's why Hulda Clark said that she hadn't seen any cases of cancer that weren't concomitant with intestinal parasites. And I forgot the doctor's name now, but back in 1909, I got a copy of the book here up on the shelf, but he said 1909, cancer was rare in 1909, and he'd treated, you know, 30, 40 cases of it over his career. He said he'd never seen a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. So these vaccines reduce your immune response, and then the cancer takes hold. That's what's going on there. And we'll talk about vaccinations one of these days. That's a god-awful problem. If you can avoid vaccines, you ought to by all means, but most of you have already been shot up. Your immune systems are already shot. By the time you're 5 years old today, you should have 35 vaccinations, and they think they'll have that up to 50 by 2020. I think it's 2020. 15 more vaccinations coming online. And then much of that is filled with thimerosal. So you'll see as time progresses along, more and more autism, more and more sudden infant death syndrome. And then you'll see more and more ADHD and more drugs and more. And that's because you keep on putting these toxins into your body. You know, your body can take a little bit of mercury, but, you know, you just keep pouring it on. There's a limit out there somewhere. There's a limit to how much mercury you can stick in you. And some people can tolerate it better than others. I mentioned that to you the other day. You know, I can take quite a bit of toxins. When I go into a restaurant and eat MSG, I think it tastes real good, and I don't have a problem with it. My boy has seizures. He can't tolerate hardly any of them. Now, a lot of you people out there, you can't tolerate much in the way of pollen. So on the nightly news, you know, our Ted Keller comes on there and he says, hey, let me give you the pollen report. And he tells us how many parts per million the pollen is, one thing and another. I don't pay any attention to it because I don't have any allergies. Now, why is it that I don't have any allergies and you do? You ever ask yourself that? Hey, there's something wrong with you, buddy. I'm healthy and you're not. And 99% of Americans now have symptoms. And I'll just stretch that a step further. I'll bet you that if you took a look at most of you Frenchmen, most of you Germans, most of you English, Irish, and Scots, and Icelanders, and Swedes, I'll bet you that if you took a look at your populations over there, you're going to have something like 90% of your people have symptoms. You're probably a little healthier than we are because we're a nation of sickos, but you're not all that good. Now, in 1917, 60% of Americans were symptom-free. 40% had symptoms. Now take a look at us 90 years later. 99% of us have symptoms. Only 1% of Americans are symptom-free. 1%. That's 3 million out of 300 million people in the country. There's only 3 million healthy people left in the country. Now, if you want to change that, there's a way to do that. Now, the way to cure this is to straighten out the soil. So the more you can grow in your backyard, in your own good soil, you know, once you rebuild it, the better it's going to be for you. Meanwhile, back on the farm, if you don't have healthy soil and you're not growing your own food, then there's a book out here called Rare Earths, R-A-R-E, E-A-R-T-H-S, put out by a guy named Joel Wallach, J-O-E-L-W-A-L-L-A-C-H, and he recommends supplements. If you're not getting enough zinc in your food, then you need to take supplements. That's simple enough. Now, what we're finding here with these animal studies in this book called Soil, Grass, and Cancer, over the years, we've done a lot of these animal studies, and we find out that when we confine animals in high-density populations, they get sick. So to combat that, we have to feed them antibiotics and all kinds of supplements. And then we want to crowd more in. You know, I can remember as a kid, and they used to recommend 3 square feet per chicken. And then we put them in cages, and we got it down to 1 square foot per chicken. You know, had them in about a 12 by 12 cage. Well, you can get three times as many chickens, you know, into the same building. And then that gives you three times more profit, so you make more money. We get into this money thing over here. We're not really too concerned about health. We're concerned about profits. And then this industrialization makes more money. You know, it makes more profit. It doesn't make the food safer or better for you. In fact, if you'll take a look at all of the recalls that go on, see, there aren't any recalls coming from little Georgie Gordon's farm. I've never turned out a sick cow here, and I don't have any problems with the beef I sell. The problems with beef and salmonella, they come out of Swift and Armour with these big meatpacking plants that are spitting out, you know, a hide every 45 seconds, 24/7. Now, that's where you get recalls of millions of pounds of beef because it's dirty and has bacteria in it. or some big farm out in California that's got 300 acres of spinach, and they got hundreds of workers out there, you know, and those workers have to go to the bathroom when they're out in the field, and so they poop on the ground, and then that poop, you know, gets into the spinach, and then it doesn't get washed off, and then you take it home and eat it, and then you get some kind of disease from it, like salmonella, food poisoning. When you get too many people together, too many chickens together, too many cows together, you know, you create disease. You know, the further you keep animals apart, and the more space, and the more air, and the more water, and the more freedom they have, you know, the healthier they are. Now, those whose interests are directed to the soil believe that the main task for the future must be to study the influence that methods of cultivation may possibly exert on the presence of the factors of specific defense in foodstuffs, and particularly in cereals. It would be very surprising if the dusts of the soil do not have on these factors the same effect as on amino acids and vitamins. The influence of manganese on specific immunity to Bang's bacillus seems to confirm this belief. So let's take a look here at manganese in the soil. Abortions caused by manganese deficiency are not necessarily of an epizootic character. Do you remember we talked about that a couple days ago? Manganese. So when you have premature babies, when cows have calves that are premature, we call this spontaneous abortion in cattle. We call it premature in humans. Look, ladies, what's happening here is you get a manganese deficiency. Let's just call a spade a spade. Now, when your child is born and it has mongoloid features, you know, it's called a mongoloid. If I remember right, that's a zinc deficiency. If you'll get Rare Earths by Joel Wallach. See, these things have been tested and looked at for years and years and years. Hair lips. I saw a piece on PBS the other night, and there's a group of doctors that go down to South America, and they repair these children, you know, that have a cleft palate. And, you know, once you have this cleft palate, it needs to be surgically repaired. And it's quite a little process. It's common, and it's I'm going to say, easily overcome, easily done. But it costs, you know, a few bucks to do that. And these doctors here from the States and Canada and other places, you know, in the developed world, they go down to these undeveloped countries and they repair these children. And God love them for doing that. But now, the reason that this cleft palate occurs is because the embryo, when it's developing, develops the entire baby in 56 days. I mean, from start to finish, this thing just takes 56 days, not 57 or 58 or 49 or 50. It takes 56. Isn't that a miracle how that evolved that way? And that's kind of why I thought it was probably created and designed. But then, leaving that question aside, during this development process, if in the mother's womb, as this baby is developing, there's a shortage of a particular mineral, the palate doesn't close up. You've got to have that mineral. Now, I forgot what it was. I don't know if it was zinc or manganese or phosphorus or something else, but there's a trace element. Wouldn't it be better if we had a little prenatal care? And we made sure that every pregnant mother, or, you know, we don't care about those down in Brazil, but, you know, just you. And the next time you get pregnant, lady, why don't you concentrate on getting all of the nutrition you can possibly stuff into your face? And then when you have that baby is born, it'll be full term, and it won't be spontaneous abortion, you won't have a preemie, and it'll be fully developed, you won't have a cleft palate, and you won't have some other birth defect. 5% of babies have birth defects, and 100% of the birth defects are nutritional deficiencies. How do you like that? That'll kick you in the gut, won't it? So if you've got a child now that has a birth defect that was caused by you starving yourself to death while you were pregnant. Now remember, that baby isn't going to be made up of anything that you don't have present in your body. So if you're short of copper, ladies, that baby that you're carrying in your womb is going to be short of copper also. And if that occurs in 56 days, there's going to be a birth defect. Let's see now on page 141. Flip over here to page 141. Talking about copper deficiency upsets the synthesis of catalase. And I'm going to talk about that just as soon as we get through with reminding you that. You are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. So be sure to order yours by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page and download that free general law CD package for yourself. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about soil, grass, and cancer. Let me tell you where to get a copy of the book. This is from Acres USA, and I also recommend that you subscribe to the Acres magazine or the newsletter or whatever they call it. It's about 50 pages, comes out once a month, costs $27, one of the least expensive of the newsletters. Concentrates mainly on agricultural subjects and health issues. They've got a book report section in there, a book section, of which they recommend books like this and many, many others that are well worth reading. Now, this one called Soil, Grass, and Cancer. The author's name is Andre Voisin. His name is A-N-D-R-E, Andre. V-O-I-S-I-N, Andre Voisin, and you can get a copy at Acres USA. Their address is P.O. Box 91299, Austin, Texas, and the number is 78, that's their zip code now, 78709. Now, they got a telephone down there, too. Why don't you take their phone number? Sometimes it's handy if you call them up and ask them, how much is the book, and can I send you a postal money order, blah, blah, blah. Will you take my check? The phone number is 512-892-4400. Again, that's 512-892-4400 there in Austin, Texas. And let's take a look here at Chapter 26. Copper deficiency upsets the synthesis of catalase, the two vulnerable fractions of the defense enzyme. So before dealing with catalase, the fundamental defense enzyme attention should be given to the constitution of enzymes and how they're governed by the dusts of the soil. Remember, dust thou art. In ultra simple terms, it may be said that an enzyme is made up of a protein fraction, a prosthetic group coenzyme, which generally includes a mineral element. And so we got a protein here with a mineral in it. And we call these enzymes. And you need these enzymes to digest your food. And if you don't have this enzyme, for instance, in milk, you become lactose intolerant. You can't digest the milk. So here's the dairy, and they're advertising on the radio or on the TV, and they say, milk is full of calcium. Drink milk to get your calcium. And hey, they're not lying to you. It is true. Milk is full of calcium. But without that digestive enzyme, the calcium is useless. You can't assimilate it. You can drink milk until the cows come home, and you're not going to get any calcium out of it. Well, you get a little bit because your own body can digest some of it. But if you want calcium out of milk, you need raw milk. You've got to drink milk that's got the enzyme in it. If you want to digest butterfat, you've got to have an enzyme that digests the butterfat. And if you don't have it, you know, it's curtains. Too bad. So here again, you know, we want to eat at McDonald's. I don't know if there's any enzymes in a McDonald's burger. I kind of doubt it. That means that all of the enzymes that you're going to have to digest that McDonald's burger has to come out of your body. And your body doesn't have the enzymes that it needs or the hydrochloric acid in your stomach to digest the 30% fat that's in the hamburger, which is why your creator, your God, told you shall eat no manner of fat. And he told you that in Leviticus 3, verse 17. Leviticus 3, 17. Told you not to eat blood, too. So all you people eating blood sausage out there, you might want to take that one, tuck it away in your heart. Now, this isn't Georgie's evangelistic crusade here, because I don't care whether you eat fat or blood or not. I don't care if you live or die. I'm just here as a reporter to give you information. And if you want to see the scientific end of the information that I'm giving you, then the book you're looking for here is called Soil, Grass, and Cancer. And there's a connecting link between soil, grass, and disease. Now, talking about copper deficiency over here and what it does to you over here, the same is true of defense enzymes. If one or other fraction of the enzyme is broken down or the binding between the two parts is broken, there's a risk not only of cell metabolism being disrupted, but also the fear that the mechanisms of the defense against attacks by microbes and their toxins will not function properly or may not function at all. Uh-huh. So microbes get into your body. Now, you know, people run around, they're kind of germ conscious, and I saw this the other day. They, on this H1N1 virus, they said, oh my God, wash your hands. You know, that reminds me, there was a movie out here some years ago, and there was a kid, and they locked him up in a tent. He was locked up in his bedroom, and they locked him up in this tent because he didn't have an immune system that worked. And so they had to keep him locked away here so that the germs couldn't get at him. Well, boys and girls, out here in the real world, there are germs. They're just everywhere. And some of them are good germs, and some of them are bad germs. You know, some of them cause disease and one thing and another. But, you know, when it's all said and done, your body has an immune system. It's just full of all kinds of T cells and enzymes and white corpuscles. And it's just a hell of a machine. And anytime there's a disease, bacteria gets into your body, a virus, your body just eats it alive. You want to test this, go to a party. Go to a party. And invite somebody that's got some kind of an infectious disease like flu. And have that person come in and sneeze all over the room. And out of the guests that you have at your party, a bunch of those people will come down with the flu, which demonstrates that it's highly contagious. But not everybody in the room is going to get the flu. Only about 20% will get the flu. The other 80% won't, because 80% of the people at any given time, their immune systems are up and functioning and working. You know, most of the time your immune system is up functioning and working. It's only once in a while, you know, once, twice, or three times in the year that you get a cold or you get the flu or some other infectious disease. It doesn't happen very often. And that's because most of the time your immune system is working. Well, now, if you could keep your immune system working 100% of the time at 100% efficiency, you would never get sick. That's simple enough to figure out. Now, your body is designed to live for 70 years, 3, 4, and 10 years, 25,550 days. And as a result of that, you know, we ask ourselves the question, well, why do we get sick, or how often do I or should I expect to get sick? And the answer is you should never expect to get sick. You should always expect to be healthy. It's the design mechanism that was designed into you. God himself designed it. But he also gave us 19 laws, 19 health laws. I told you last time. I said, no, we'll talk about those 19 health laws here next program. We'll start in on it. You have to have these laws in place and functioning in order to have health. And if you break one or more of those laws, you will get sick. Absolutely, guaranteed, without any reservations whatsoever. Can't miss. You want to get sick? Break one of those laws? Absolutely guaranteed. And that's because there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. Sickness is the penalty that you get for the violation of a law. And if you didn't have a penalty with the law, you wouldn't have a law. You would have a suggestion. Now, my daddy used to have a law. It said, little Georgie goes to bed at 8 o'clock. God, I hated that. And because Ronnie Mitchell didn't have to go to bed until 8:30. He got up a half an hour later than I did. I go to bed at 8, he went to bed at 8:30. Other kids that I knew in school didn't have to go to bed until 9. There was even a couple of them didn't have to go to bed until 10. My daddy said, you go to bed at 8. Now, I tested this a couple of times just in case the old man was wrong. And I didn't go to bed at 8 o'clock, and I gave him some fits and starts and told him to kiss off, and I wasn't going to bed. But I didn't do it very often. I think the first time I did that, I probably got talked to kind of sternly. Second time I did that, my old daddy, you know, just whipped the daylights out of me. He caused so much pain, anguish, and consternation in my poor little physical body that I gave up and quit. And I said, no, when that old man talks to me, I'm going to shut up and do what he tells me. Did it in my own self-interest. So there was a penalty. See, the Gordon household, I lived in the kingdom of Gordon, and then my dad was called King Edward, and my mother was called Queen Mildred, and I was a subject. I didn't have any status at all. You just sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and do what you're told. That's what happens when you're born into a kingdom without democracy. So I had a law here. The law said go to bed at 8 o'clock, and that was the end of the argument. Otherwise, there's a penalty. The penalty is pain, suffering, and anguish. Well, we have the same thing in life. God does the same thing. He says, hey, I don't want you eating the fat. And so we say, oh, no. We're going to eat fat. Okay. So you eat the fat, plugs up your arteries. We call this cholesterol. Plugs up your arteries. We call that atherosclerosis. Then if you don't die from the heart attack that you have caused by the plugged up artery, then you have to pay $100,000 to have somebody clean it out and stick in some new veins. How do you like that? So it costs you a bundle of money. It hurts like hell. And then in some cases, it kills you. That's the penalty for eating fat. Now, I'm not here to tell you not to eat fat. You know, if it tastes good and you like it, get after it. But your body is not designed for fat. It doesn't have enough hydrochloric acid or enzymes to digest it. And if you persist in eating fat, you will surely die. And you probably will not live to be age 70 when the event transpires. So if you want to live to be 70, you need to practice these 19 laws. Now, if you practice all 19 of these laws, it does not guarantee that you're going to live to be 120 or 140. Now, this guy, Joel Wallach, he says you should be living to 120. And I've run across a lot of these vegetarians and a lot of these health guys that write these books, and they say, oh, my God, you should live to be, 100 years old or 120 or 140 years old. That's poppycock. Poppycock. Your creator said you're going to live to be 70, 40 if you're strong. If you die before 70, you got a breach of contract. If you live to be 80, you collected a little extra benefit. If you live to be 90 or 100, like George Burns and Bob Hope, well, that's unusual. Lady died the other day. She was 106. That's very unusual. I've heard of people that live to be 120. That's even more unusual. Moses died at 120. That was pretty unusual. You're not going to live to be 100 or 120. And in fact, if you break these 19 health laws, it's not very likely that you're going to make it to 70. And the more we destroy our soils, the less likely it is that most of us are going to live to be 70. All right, so going on here, he says, the mineral elements of the soil, particularly the trace elements, control the defense enzymes in two ways. The trace element alters the constitution of the protein of the living cell, that is the first half of the defense enzyme. And secondly, the trace element intervenes in the synthesis of the prosthetic group, the second half of the defense enzyme, and it may even be an integral part of the prosthetic group. It is understandable, therefore, that a slight variation in the content of a trace element in the soil is sufficient to reduce the capacity of the animal or human organism to resist microbial attacks. The effect which the copper in the soil exercises on catalase, the fundamental defense enzyme of living cells, will now be examined in the light of these few general observations. First of all, catalase. Catalase appears more and more as the enzyme that plays the defensive role, the decisive role, wherever two cells are struggling for life. It must be remembered that catalase is an enzyme having a protein as apoenzyme and a heme as prosthetic group. The heme is made up of iron and porphyrin and is similar to, if not identical with, the same radical of hemoglobin. The function of catalase in the cell is to destroy immediately any hydrogen peroxide, oxygenated water that may form there. The 2H2O2 and 2H2O plus O2, the formation of this hydrogen peroxide being brought about by certain of the respiratory mechanisms of the cell. If there is a deficiency of catalase, therefore, the hydrogen peroxide is able to exercise its very serious toxic effects on the cell and kill it. Recent research, moreover, appears to show that the function of catalase is not solely to destroy immediately the hydrogen peroxide produced in the cell, but the catalase in dilute solution, thanks to the oxidative coupling, is capable of oxidizing a large variety of heavy molecules in the presence of hydrogen peroxide. Now, iron deficiency and catalase. Since iron enters into the composition of the heme, which forms the coenzyme of catalase, a deficiency of this metal can reduce the activity of catalase, as was seen above in the case of plants. There, it was a case of a direct deficiency due to the absence in the soil of one of the elements involved in the constitution of the molecule. The main concern here, however, is with indirect deficiency resulting from the fact that, as will be seen, copper is indispensable to the synthesis of the heme. This phenomenon will also help the reader to understand better the influence of copper in the soil on the defense mechanisms of the cell, in which catalase plays a dominant part. Copper deficiency reduces the activity of catalase in the liver. Schultz, in 1941, studied the effect of copper deficiency on various tissues, particularly those tissues of the liver and blood. The deficiency was produced by feeding rats with cow's milk, to which a few mineral salts had been added. Table 24 shows the resulting variations in the catalase of the liver of male and female rats, and the activity varies with the sex. And it'll be seen that copper deficiency causes the activity of liver catalase to fall, and it falls sharply, reducing it to half the normal. What is particularly striking is that supplementation of the milk with 1 milligram of copper per rat per day made the activity increase again very rapidly. This influence of copper was already being felt only after 2 days. Now, catalase in your blood. The catalase of the blood is known to be very active. It is concentrated mainly in the white and red corpuscles, and it should be noted that hemoglobin has no catalase activity in itself. Now, here's an important factor. Do you want to know where your life is located? What is life? Well, your creator gives you the answer, and he says, the life is in the blood. And that's precisely what we're seeing here in the scientific experiment. The life is in the blood. Furthermore, there is an element here called copper, which is absolutely essential. And without it, hey, we get diseased. Going on, he says, Schultz, in the course of his experiments with rats suffering from copper deficiency, as a result of being fed cow's milk, also studied the variation in the catalase activity in the blood. Some of the results that he obtained are presented graphically in figure 9 above, and it's evident that a diet deficient in copper progressively diminishes the activity of blood catalase, reducing it to at least half of normal. If the diet is supplemented with copper, blood catalase activity increases, although relatively less rapidly than that of the catalase in the liver under analogous conditions. Nevertheless, less than 3 weeks after copper supplements were added to the ration, the activity of the catalase in the blood was back to normal. Now, this activity, this blood catalase in here, affects the cells. It affects the organism. And if they don't have enough of it, then the cells die. They develop hydrogen peroxide and the cells die. And we call these free radicals running around killing your cells. Well, doesn't your common sense tell you that if you could balance your ration like we do with cattle, when we balance their ration, we can restore their health? And has it ever occurred to humans that if we could restore your balance, restore your ration, we could restore your health? That's why this guy, Joel Wallach, you know, he's kind of kidding you a little bit, but he said, if you'd stick a mineral block on your dining room table, and every time you walk by it, you take two licks, you could eliminate your disease. If we can eliminate disease in cattle, we can eliminate disease in people. Now, next time, we'll take a look at this organism can utilize iron only in the presence of copper. So your body, if you want to increase your iron supply, you know you've got iron poor blood, you cannot increase your iron in your body without copper. The two have to go together. Now, isn't that just real special? So you can sit here and take all the copper, all of the iron that you want, and if you're copper deficient, the iron does absolutely nothing. It's the same as drinking milk without the enzyme. You can drink that milk until hell freezes over, and without the enzyme, you can't digest it. I'm out of time, so I'm going to give you a reminder here that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.